T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
This show doesn't stink. It's awesome.
You're not sure what you want to do with your life, but you sure don't want me in it.
Welcome back.
Yeah, you sure.
Television's longest-running medical drama is still alive and kicking.
Is it Grey's Anatomy?
It is. ABC on Monday announcing that Grey's Anatomy will return for season 18.
Woo!
Station 19, which shares a universe with Grey's, I guess it's a spinoff, will also return for a fifth season. Grey's Anatomy has, according to ABC, Grey's Anatomy has in the 2020-2021 TV season ranked as the number one entertainment series among adults 18 to 49, the always important demographic, and as the network's still number one show in total viewers. What do they have, like one original cast member on that show?
It's been a long time. My daughters always have it on in the kitchen. It's been a long time since I've sat down and watched it, and I never know what season they're on because they go back and watch old episodes. But I always laugh. Have you ever noticed on that show, even if you watch for 5 minutes, there is no city in the world that handles that much trauma coming into an ER on any given day? Where it's like, oh my gosh, we have two people, they're glued together and they're both about to die. Hurry, everybody, help! And then right after that, a guy comes in with a machete sticking out of his head. And then right after that, one of their main characters has a heart attack. And so I've often wondered, like, are there people who go to med school specifically because of that show? Because it's not going to be like that.
Okay. Well, it's just like NCIS and the Behavioral Analysis Unit. Like, it's not actually like that in the crime division. However, there are three original cast members still on the show.
Three.
Sandra Oh, I think, is still on.
She is not.
No.
Really?
Yeah, she left.
Well, the chick who plays Gray.
Meredith.
Ellen Pompeo.
Yeah, yes. She was in Old School. That's a great show. It's a great movie.
I don't know.
Miranda in the show and Richard in the show.
All I know is if you are a real doctor or ER nurse or you work in that life, you have to laugh at that show because it's too much.
What do you?
It's too much drama.
Well,
much trauma.
Of course, but also any show that is based on some profession is always going to have the people in that profession going,
it's not like that.
I mean, any medical drama, most people in medicine are going to say, you know, they get a lot of the terminology right, but that's not what it's really like. Do you remember the show? It was a sitcom back in the 90s called News Radio.
Oh, yeah. Miles.
Yeah. Phil Hartman was on it for
a
while. I loved it partly because at the time I had just gotten into news radio. I was young at the time, believe it or not. I was once young. And I used to love that show, not because it was accurate, but because it poked fun at this business. It took the absurd and made it more absurd.
Sure.
All the things. But by the way, Grey's Anatomy is not the longest-running scripted TV show. It has 17 seasons under its belt.
Wait, let me ask.
Going into its 18th, but it is in the top 10.
ER is in the top 10.
ER is number 11.
Doogie Howser, MD, would be up there.
Yeah, ER is 11. Doogie Howser. No, no, I'm not talking about medical. I'm talking scripted. Just not reality show, not news-based like 60 Minutes or Dateline or 2020. I'm talking about a scripted TV show. ER is number 11. Grey's Anatomy is number 9.
Well,
or number 8, sorry.
How long was Dallas on?
Not long enough to... Dallas was on for 14 seasons. The original
The biggest one has to be Law & Order. Law & Order's been on forever.
Law & Order SVU Law & Order SVU is number 2. Law & Order, the original, is 20, but it's off the air and has been since 2010. Law & Order SVU, though, has been on the air since 1999 and is still on the air. Gunsmoke is number 3. Okay. Law & Order, number 4. Lassie is number 5.
What about who played Quincy, MD?
Family Guy is number 6.
Oh, we're forgetting the cartoons. The first one, yeah, we're forgetting the cartoons.
NCIS is number 7. Grey's Anatomy, 8. American Dad is 9. And CSI is 10. ER 11.
So one has to be The Simpsons.
That is correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 32 seasons.
Wow.
Yeah, that show never dies.
With a bullet. They have 32 seasons on The Simpsons. Law & Order SVU in second place has only 22 seasons.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Good old Homer Simpson, man. Never goes out of style.
I can still remember when it first came on the air. I was a freshman in Nebraska. I was a freshman in college when The Simpsons debuted.
All right. Speaking of college, you know how we've been talking about some colleges incentivizing the COVID shot for their students. Mm-hmm. And I think a couple weeks ago, one of the colleges says, here's what we're going to do. If you get the shot, your name goes in a hopper, and we're going to raffle off like a $10,000 scholarship.
Right, I remember
They're trying
that.
To get the college kids to get into the tent and get the shot. Hold my beer, in just walked Governor Mike DeWine.
Ohio.
Ohio's governor just tweeted, and I quote, 2 weeks from tonight, on May 26th, we will announce a winner of a separate drawing for adults who have received at least their first dose of the vaccine. This announcement will occur each Wednesday for 5 weeks, and the winner each Wednesday will receive $1 million.
Roll them up. I'm ready.
$1 million.
Wow.
The pool of names for the drawing will be derived from the Ohio Secretary of State's publicly available voter registration database. Further, we will make available a web page for you to sign up for the drawing if you're not in the database they are using.
Super smart.
The Ohio Lottery will head the drawing.
Well, they know what they're doing. Huh.
I mean, 5 people are going to win $1 million.
By the way, Mike DeWine is a Republican. Smart play on his part.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Do you think people who otherwise are on the fence that didn't really want a vaccine, do you think the $1 million 5 times drawing will do it?
I think the people who are on the fence, yes. Those who are adamantly against it for whatever reason, no.
If they're on the fence and already play the lottery, you better believe they're in there.
Hey, now, I don't believe in science, but now that you threw in gambling, I'm in.
I believe in capitalism.
That's right, baby.
I believe in chance and capitalism. That's what I believe in.
I didn't want that COVID shot, but man, if you're going to throw in some gambling, okay.
It's the 3 C's, man. Chance, capitalism, and COVID. That's what I believe in. Wow. That's a really smart play that I had not thought of. That's why it's smart, and I'm not. By the way, after ER was number 11, Supernatural on the EW or the CW.
No clue what that is.
Supernatural was in 12th place. Criminal Minds was on for 15 years. And then we get some older ones like Jack Benny Program and The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet and Bonanza. Okay. All right, when we get back, the medical students who are accused of cheating, would you want them operating on you?
And why they say they didn't cheat, but the school isn't so sure.
We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. Hey, don't forget, if you missed part of the show, you can always podcast it. Just go to KMBZ.com. Every minute of every hour of every day is podcast KMBZ.com.
So interesting story, and even the Daily Mail picked this up today. One of the Ivy League's medical schools is accusing 17 students of cheating during the pandemic. So remote exams, off campus, cheating. And here's the issue. It happened at Dartmouth, and Dartmouth College apparently tracked these websites accessed by medical students who were doing these remote exams through some program called Canvas, which you're familiar with if you have a high schooler. And the school somehow went back and retroactively reviewed activity of the students during 3,000 exams without the students' knowledge after one faculty member accused a student of cheating. However, of the 17 students that were initially accused, charges against seven of the med students have been dismissed. Other students say they were pressured to admit guilt even though they didn't cheat. The accusations have been slammed so bad by students on campus, they say the software is prone to errors, and they say they are now demanding on-campus test taking and learning. So if you're going to accuse me of cheating through some technology you have when I'm at home, I'm demanding you let me back on campus to take the test.
Oh.
Because I didn't cheat. And I don't trust your technology, and I want back in the classroom.
Doesn't everybody who cheats say they didn't cheat, though, in fairness? I mean, nobody ever said, well, yeah, you got me.
One cybersecurity expert, a senior lecturer with another university, told the Times Universities that the universities that lack the expertise to use complex technology could run into, quote, significant trouble by accusing kids of cheating if you don't have the IT security people in place that, for however they track this, can say with certainty you cheated, that there's going to be a whole lot of trouble.
Is it easier to cheat or harder with the and here's what I mean with that question. You would think with all the technology that's out there, it has to be easier to cheat.
I don't think so.
But wait, you would think with all the technology out there, it would be easier to catch a cheater.
It's the same thing as the cybersecurity argument. As one side gets smarter, the other side tries to keep up.
Because there's now technology where it will watch your eyes to see if you are looking down and looking up the answers. But what if you're looking down because your cat just jumped on your lap?
What if I got a lazy eye? What?
I'm not cheating. I have an eye that points in another direction.
Or just get a laptop and put it right next to the other computer.
Which way is he looking?
I don't know.
Is he looking at me or you? That's bad. I'm sorry.
This is a problem. And one of the students says he received an email from Dartmouth accusing him of cheating while he was on spring break. They told him after they reviewed his online activity, it had shown that he had cheated by looking up websites relating to the exams he was sitting on three separate occasions. But he says he did not cheat and was pressured into admitting wrongdoing and then asking for clemency.
So let me understand. You said something that reminded me of, you were talking about the eye detection stuff that they have. I remember about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was trying to get in touch with my oldest daughter who's in college. And I called her and she didn't answer. And I called her a little bit later because I couldn't figure out, you know, where she was and make sure everything was okay. I wanted to know what was wrong with her. I mean, sorry, what had happened to her.
Yeah.
She called me later that evening and she said, hey, Dad, I'm sorry. I couldn't answer my phone. I was taking a test and they were monitoring my eye movements.
Okay.
So what if, like, obviously, if you're taking a test.
Yeah.
Okay. You're looking at a laptop or a computer screen of some capacity. What if somebody in the background is goofing on you and jumping up and down and pulling out, mooning you or whatever, or your cat falls off the counter or something happens? Are you not allowed to exhibit a natural human function, which is to look at what just happened?
I think this is the problem with these software programs that say they're going to track your test taking. I don't think it's foolproof. And you are, and when you talk about medical school, Scott, let alone Ivy League medical school,
sure,
which, you know, let's say it's $100,000 a year, whatever it is. There are students who are furious saying this has caused panic attacks, worse. I will just leave it at that. There are kids in the car. It's a very serious allegation to say that someone cheated in medical school. And
it's a serious allegation.
It is, but all I would say is Dartmouth better be damned sure.
Mm-hmm.
They had better be sure. Because they've gone from accusing 17 to now saying, well, maybe the other seven didn't cheat, and now there's 10 still left who are charged with cheating.
Telephone number here is 576-7798. Somebody says, well, why don't the kids wear sunglasses? I don't think you can. And what if you just look off to see, to look at the clock on the wall, just see what time it is, or maybe you have you're wearing a watch and you're just like, God, how long is this test taking? You look down at your watch. Is that cheating?
It's also pretty common human nature to look away from what you're thinking about while you're thinking about it, because it allows your brain to process better.
I was just thinking about that as Dana was talking. I caught myself at least on three occasions either looking up at the clock to make sure that we were on time.
Cheater!
Or looking out. For those who don't know, Dana sits up against the windows. And so I can see outside. I can see the trees blowing, the traffic driving by in rush hour traffic. And so sometimes I'll just look out the window while she's talking. Doesn't mean I'm not paying attention. It just means that something else has caught my attention for a brief moment. I mean, as you're talking, do I need to look at you nonstop? I mean, I just looked at that red truck that just drove by. It caught my attention.
Cheater.
I know. 576-7798. Ryan in Lawrence. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Love you all.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking.
By the way, happy Hope Day. the thing about this is, as I was telling Sam, what happens if these students, supposedly they had laptops at their homes during this COVID crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unless Dartmouth was smart enough to put cameras in those laptops, seems to me they're really dumb in the way they handled this, because even the software that they put in to track these students, that software is a whole lot smarter than that administration of that university. I mean, it's nonsensical, and Dana's right. We've got to be sure, or they better be sure, that any cheating is proven to be right.
They'd better know, Ryan, because here's the deal. It's one thing to say you cheated when you're an art history major, and I'm not saying that's okay, because it's not.
Wow.
It's another thing to say we have a medical school student who is now in year, what, six, seven?
Oh, sure.
Eight?
Sure.
With the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars that come with that, it's another thing to say someone who is trying to get their MD cheated.
So what you're saying is, it's one thing to say you're cheating if you're getting a degree that doesn't count for a hill of beans versus a degree that actually does
count.
That's
not what I said.
That's pretty much what you said.
But if you are going into the profession of saving lives and someone says you cheated, man, they better be sure.
News is next. 576-7798. Good to be with you on this gorgeous Wednesday afternoon here in Kansas City. We're talking about these Dartmouth medical students who are accused of cheating on tests. They say they didn't do it, but it got us into a larger discussion about cheating in this do your schoolwork from home age that we're slowly but surely coming out of, but have been in for a year now, especially on the college level, and this detection, this eye detection software that they use. Even my daughter, I was sharing the story last segment, 4 weeks ago, called me and she said, sorry, I didn't answer your calls. I was taking a test. I didn't want the professor to think I was cheating. Somebody brought up a great point on the text line. Not everybody who is taking a test online in a college is 19 or 20 years old. There are plenty of adults who take college level courses. You're 34 years old. You're taking a course and you have a 5-year-old kid running around the house. I mean, how many Zoom meetings have you been on with a parent who's at home with a kid and you can't hear them, but you see their head turned to the side and you know they're saying, cut it out. You know, be quiet. I'm on a Zoom.
Sure.
Or something like that. That would have to happen all the time, especially with older students or what they call non-traditional students who have kids at home. Great point on the text line. What do you call a medical student who graduates at the bottom of their class?
Doctor.
That's right. Tim and Shawnee. Hello, Tim.
Hey, how are you guys today?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking.
Hey, I probably have a pretty unique perspective on this. I manage the testing department at KU Med for all three of our schools.
Awesome.
And a lot of these artificial intelligence, whatever you want to call them, programs that look for cheating, they will flag any incident, and a lot of times it's up to the instructor to look at that incident and say, yeah, that's nothing. They're looking off to the side. Or, hey, maybe we do have something here. And we would really push students to be back on campus for testing versus all this artificial stuff.
Right.
And they don't take it lightly, but they will investigate that to the full extent so that if a student is accused, you really have to present evidence that says, hey, your career may be over. And they'll go as far as putting them in front of the panel of their peers to discuss it.
But
and
Tim,
I've seen it done. I've been doing it for 15 years. Yeah.
Because of the pandemic, why not say, if you're Dartmouth, okay, why not say we have noticed some irregularities over the last 2 months with everybody being at home? We are not comfortable enough to say anyone is cheating, but there are some irregularities with testing and we are calling everyone back to test in person. And then everyone's kind of put on notice that, okay, hey, look, if you were looking off to the side, maybe for the reason we think you might have been, knock it off.
Yeah, I mean, down at KU Med, we go to the point where if they are testing on campus, they actually sign a piece of paper when they come into the room that basically says, I am who I am, I'm not going to cheat, et cetera, et cetera. And if they're called out on it, we can present that as evidence of saying, look, you said right here, this is what you're going to do. And at the same time, if a student's like, well, I wasn't cheating, but there's evidence of it, we'll actually have a statistician go through their exam, someone else's exam. What's the possibility of them missing the same 5 questions in a row with the same answers, starting the same time, finishing at the same time? They really vet that thing really closely because they really don't want to have a kid in there who is cheating, but I think they don't want to have a kid tossed who's not cheating and is falsely accused.
What is the penalty for cheating on an exam in college these days?
From where I stand, it's a zero. It goes in the grade book as a zero.
For the test or for the course?
For the test, but you may only have 4 exams in that course. You fail one of them.
And you're done.
You're really going to be hurting to get through. Now, I know our nursing program does it differently. They have a profits group where if another student says, hey, I saw you cheating, they will pull both of those students in, and if you're the one that's accusing another student of cheating, you have to face that person and say, this is what I saw you do. And they do that so students don't falsely accuse someone just because they don't like them or they looked at them wrong that morning or something.
Wait. Students will rat another student out?
Oh, it's cutthroat, Steve. It's cutthroat.
Oh, my name's Scott. I mean, my brother, Steve.
I'm sorry, Scott. Scott. It's cutthroat to the point where they don't want students falsely accusing the top-notch students who get done with a test in 30 minutes, and you've got one.
Oh, dude.
It hurts when you see students get done with a test and be falsely accused.
Oh, I can't even imagine. And then, like, in the Dartmouth case, students are saying there are kids who have severe, severe depression and anxiety over the thought that they have been accused of this.
Can you? I mean,
it's panic. Panic.
Would you ever turn another student in?
Oh, God, no.
Wouldn't either. Man. Gil in Shawnee. Hello, Gil.
Hey, Scott, Dana.
Hi.
Okay, I'm your non-traditional student.
Good.
I am 57 years old, and I am in Rockhurst in my nurse practitioner program.
Wonderful.
This will be my fifth degree and my second master's, and so I know quite a bit about the bulletin board system. Canvas is nothing more than a bulletin board. It's where the assignments are put up, and it's where you turn them in at. And then when you take a test, and especially being in a medical program where you're going to be practicing medicine, whether you're a doctor, NC, or PA, you have to know your stuff. So they have a third-party product, like Lockdown Browser or something, that when you actually start to take your test, it will freeze every program on your computer to where you can only access the test itself, so you can't cheat by using websites and stuff like that.
Got it.
And if they don't have a program like that, if Dartmouth doesn't have a program like that, then it's their fault.
I was gonna say, you would think Dartmouth, for what those kids are paying to go to school there, would have the very best technology.
Hang on, Gil. Exactly. You buried the lead here, partner. You said you're on your fifth degree and second. Do you take college courses for fun?
I tell people I'm too dumb to get out of college.
Gil, I love you. You call in anytime.
No, my entire life has been serving people. I started off as a firefighter. I retired as a lieutenant paramedic for Johnson County. I went to nursing school at 50. I went to, now I'm in nurse practitioner school, and I'll be practicing medicine this time next year.
Good for you.
The problem is I've got an MBA, so when I was being recruited by the DO school, I can do basic math, and if I would have gone to 4 years of med school, 2 years residency, 3 years cardiac fellowship, I would have been 64 when I started practicing and $450,000 in debt. So that didn't appeal to me.
I can do a little bit of math, and that's bad math. Thank you, Gil.
I love the call, Gil. Thank you for your passion and for always wanting to keep learning.
Yeah,
there's a story in the stack today. There's a 78-year-old woman in Alabama. I thought it said Stanford. It's Samford. 78-year-old woman who was one of the graduates of the class of 2021 at Samford University in Alabama on Saturday.
Good for her.
She went back, spent 6 years earning her bachelor's degree in liberal arts studies.
Now, see,
78.
And I think a lot of people are like, well, what's the point?
Never too old to stop learning.
And my argument has always been, it's not about at that age, it's not about using that degree. It's proving something to yourself that I can get it. I can do that.
Amen.
And you're never too old to prove to yourself that you can do something.
There's also a philosophy out there that the day you stop learning is the day you stop living. You should learn something new every single day.
Mm. Unless it's like downhill competitive skiing at age 47. Let's be honest, Scott. There are certain things for you and I. Going back to college, yes. You want to go get your master's degree?
Would you ever go back to college?
Oh, I've flirted with the idea.
I've flirted with the idea of going
back to law school,
like refresh myself on some German or something, but not to get a degree in German.
I have flirted with the idea, but you just said it. You're never too old to do certain things.
To prove to yourself that you can do it. Yeah.
And I would say yes, except certain physical things that for you and I are probably not the wisest. You know, I'm not going to take up karate or...
Well, why not?
Because I would break a hip and pull a hamstring.
No, somebody else would break your hip, but you wouldn't.
Well, if you did it correctly and you stretched,
I'm not going to take up snowboarding.
Out.
I mean, there are just certain things at my age that I'm not going to take that up.
Dana, you either get busy living or you get busy dying.
That's right.
That is right. 576-7798.
Everybody get up.
All right, let's wrap up this show here with a couple of stories we did not have time to get to today. Sad news here from CNN. Colt Brennan, the name might ring a bell.
His hair would.
He held the record for the most touchdown passes in a season in college football for about a decade. He went to the University of Hawaii, was a runner-up, or not a runner-up, but a finalist for the Heisman. Colt Brennan, age 37, died in Orange County, California. He was a quarterback, as I mentioned, for the University of Hawaii.
I sent this story to my kids, Scott, and we have been screaming about this for weeks on this very program. And go back and podcast, force your kids to listen to it until they are sick and tired of hearing you talk about fentanyl. Because it is believed that Colt Brennan, this beautiful, bright young man who had struggled with some issues since a car wreck, took something for the first time a couple of nights ago that was laced with fentanyl. It is coming over from China. It is manipulated chemically and laced with fentanyl, and he is now dead. Mm-hmm. And I sent that story to my children last night. I said, I know you're sick of hearing about it. Good. I'm glad you're sick of hearing about it. Those pills are now here. They are in Lee's Summit. They're in Independence. They are in Overland Park. There have been several overdoses in the Northland with teenagers who think they're paying $5 or $10 for a Xanax, and it is medically altered and laced with fentanyl. Talk to your kids.
Yeah, that's bad news. CBS reporting half of the 100 largest U.S. employers of low-wage workers adjusted their CEO pay packages last year, sweetening rewards for chief executives during the pandemic while cutting pay for the average worker. There are several headlines on this. This one's from CBS News. This one's from the New York Daily News. Similar story headline, millionaire CEOs made nearly 30% more in 2020 while workers take a hit. In evaluating the 100 S&P 500 firms with the lowest median worker wages, the Institute for Policy Studies found that more than half of them bent their own rules to inflate executive pay in 2020. The average CEO that they surveyed made $15.3 million in 2020, a 29% jump from the previous year. The median worker salary was $28,187, a 2% drop.
Then this story from the New York Times, and I will ask you, would you ever, could you ever, after a man who ventured out on a glass bottom bridge in China's northeast, you've seen these things, was left clinging to the side for dear life after gale force winds blew away some of the glass floor panels, leaving gaping holes in the structure hundreds of feet above the ground. It has raised questions, about the safety of similar hair-raising tourist attractions around the world. This one happened Saturday. It says the harrowing, this is not funny, the harrowing episode left many people in China deeply rattled. Quoting here, this is exactly why I dare not step on a bridge like that, one tourist said. I break out in a cold sweat just looking at it. The construction of glass-bottomed bridges has boomed in China in recent years as part of a rush for hair-raising attractions that capitalize on the notion of construction that blends invisibly into the natural environment around you.
Yeah. They have one in Chicago, I think.
You could not pay me, I'm telling you right now, $1 billion to go across that bridge.
Well, in Chicago, it's not a bridge.
It's just like a cutout.
Yeah, you can step out and it has a floor base and you're standing literally next to the building.
Yeah, I won't do that either.
There's a pool like that in Dubai.
No. According to state media reports, around 12:45, winds up to 90 miles an hour tore through the picturesque tourist site, blowing out the glass deck and trapping the man, quote, described as a tourist. Rescue workers were called to the scene. After 35 minutes, After 35 minutes, he crawled to safety and was transferred to the hospital for a psychiatric assessment.
Or a bad case of diarrhea. Jeez.
I'm sorry, you're a psychiatrist. I need another kind of doctor.
I need a proctologist. Seriously.
Like lava, it's coming out of me.
Story here from the Kansas City Star. Missouri drivers will likely pay more at the pump starting this fall after lawmakers passed a bill to raise the Missouri state gas tax for the first time in more than two decades. The measure, which was sent to Governor Mike Parson's desk late last night, would add 2.5 cents to the current 17 cent per gallon tax beginning in October. The money would be used for road and bridge repairs. It would rise another 2.5 cents every year for the next 5 years to become 12.5 cents per gallon.
A, that's too much math this late in the show, and B, that's too much in taxes.
Well, here, let me put this in simple terms. If the governor signs it, the gas tax is going to go up 2.5 cents this year. Next year, it will have gone up 5, then 7.5. You follow me?
Yeah, too much math.
Okay. And lastly, we leave you with this. A California man seen traveling in the back seat of a driverless Tesla was arrested in the Bay Area, according to authorities, following a call on social media. The man, his name is Param Sharma, 25 years old, was arrested on misdemeanor charges of reckless driving and disobeying a peace officer. You would think he learned his lesson. He was arrested. He got pulled over, blah, blah, blah. As he was released from jail, Mr. Sharma telling KTVU television, "I'm about to go in the back seat right now. You feel me?
Like, you've got to be kidding me.
Like I'm waiting for my car to charge," end quote. And he rode home, he claims, in the back seat of his car again.
So did the two men in California a few weeks ago who burned to death inside their car because they thought autopilot meant you could ride in the back.
We got to run. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in all of America, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Stevie the Third, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, I am Scott Parks, and God willing, we'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Be safe, be well, and be good. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. And all that glitters is gold. Only shooting stars.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.